Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us as we celebrate the third Sunday of Pentecost, or third Sunday after Pentecost. It's great to see you all, friends and guests alike, and those of you who are worshiping with us online. A few announcements before we get started. First of all, a big thank you to all of you who came early today to be part of our church council. We want to thank you for your participation in that. We did pass a motion to get a new lawnmower for the church, so we're excited about that. We thank all of you who helped, many of you who contributed to that cause as well. And another big shout out I want to give is to all the people who are part of our summer cleanup these past 2 days at the church. Tim, Emily, Floyd, Rick, Joyce, Doug, and Angie. If you look outside and a few others, you can see how the power washing has really brought out the color in the church and the parsonage. And you can see anybody who wants free lumber can go to my front yard and grab a piece if they want some. But we appreciate all who've helped with that and who've been a part of that. And I also want to thank the women's board yesterday, who hosted a luncheon for the mission team from North Carolina that is up this week. They're here to run a combined VBS between us, Sharon, Bryce Valley, Janaden Hutton, and a few other congregations as well. That will be starting on Monday morning, 9 to noon, Monday through Thursday for those kids. And then Thursday evening, there will be a family night. We know there's over 20 kids registered, a few more on the docket. So we look forward to having our kids involved with that and the opportunity to come together in service for our community. Brown Bag and Big Ideas will continue on Monday from noon to 1 at Tuscora Park. I will not be there since I will be tied up in VBS activities, but Pastor John Wallace will be leading that Monday. And this Sunday, we have a great celebration because not only do we have a church council, but this Sunday we will have our first birthday and anniversary Sunday after worship for the first time in a long time. Just a chance for some fellowship and celebration as we give thanks just to be able to do that once again. VBS, I just want to remind you again, this week at Sharon Moravian, 9 a.m. to noon. Lunch will be provided for the kids from 11:30 to noon, and then we'll drop them off after that. And family dinner night will be Thursday at 7 p.m. Our sermon response question today, we've been putting these up in our announcements. What is your favorite fruit of the Spirit to give, and what is your favorite fruit of the Spirit to receive? Why? So if you have your whiteboard, you can put a little line. What is your favorite fruit of the Spirit to give? What is your favorite fruit of the Spirit to receive? If any of you have forgotten what you memorized in confirmation class 40 years ago, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll repeat that again. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then I also want to announce that starting next Sunday, the joint board has decided to lock the front doors after worship. This is just an extra security, after worship starts. This is just an extra security precaution we are taking for this time to make sure all of our worshipers stay safe. If you are arriving late, fret not. You don't have to worry. You can still come in the building. Just make sure you knock or text the trustee and we'll be sure to let you in. That's all I have for announcements. Let us please rise and extend the right wave of fellowship. All right, you may remain standing. Remain standing, we're changing, we're alternating. For the watchword of the week. Our watchword of the week is Psalm 22:28. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Amen. And then our first hymn is Jesus Loves the John Deere. Oh, wait, nope. I Am Thine, O Lord, number 607. Please stand. Together the first three pages of our Pentecost liturgy.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit of God, we praise and worship you as the one who gave birth to Christ's church. With the sound of mighty wind and flashing fire, you brought light to church in Jerusalem.
You filled those Christ-induced believers with power, and they became Christ's witnesses, speaking boldly the word of truth.
You continue to transform believers, healing, reconciling, empowering. Lives are turned around. Emptiness is filled. Drifting hearts are given direction.
You vitalize your wavering church, lavishing gifts upon us, forging unity, giving new vision. You turn our eyes from the wistful memories of yesterday to the new things you are doing among us now.
We worship and extol you, our teacher, guide, and comforter. You make Christ known to us and make us your holy temple.
By your presence, the church in all its diversity dwells together in unity.
You may be seated. Interceding Spirit, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but you understand our deepest needs and present them with love to the Father. Lead us now to repentance and confession. Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. We believe God's promise in these last days. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon both men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall speak my message.
The Spirit of God dwells in us if we belong to Christ. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power, and we become God's witnesses.
The fruit that the Spirit brings to the lives of those who follow Christ is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
The diverse and empowering gift of the Spirit are given to each one for the common good. None of us is useless to God. None of us is sufficient alone. We serve through the body of Christ, and we depend on the people of Christ.
The Spirit's gifts are given critical leaders for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God.
Amen. At this time, we will now hear from God's Word of Scripture.
First scripture comes from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The second scripture comes from Galatians 5, 1 and 13 through 25. It is for freedom that God has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilling in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Amen. We now turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. We uplift our joys, our concerns, our anxieties, and our wonders to God. In our prayers this week, we continue to uplift our local community. We continue to pray for those who are still involved in the recovery from the large storm we had, especially the folks in Janadenhutton, those who have been dealing with power outage throughout the week as well, and those who continue to rebuild. Let us continue to be the hands and feet that help those people in times of need. In our prayers of recovery this week, we uplift in prayer Donna Swaldo, Janet West, Dot Traxel, Tim Reynolds, Jim Ferrone, Tammy Bennett, Amy Pasquinelli, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Ryan Castor, all those who have been afflicted with COVID-19 as cases have risen in our community. We continue to pray for our first responders. We uplift that time, this nation, and our country, that we come together. And we also uplift prayers for Ukraine as they continue to deal with a refugee crisis, an invasion of their home country. And may we as a world support and uplift them. In joys this week, we celebrate. I want to give thanks for all of our friends and guests who are here as well. We give thanks for a beautiful summer weekend. And then I want to uplift some of our birthdays and anniversaries from June. Jackie Pasquinelli celebrated her birthday on the 2nd, Cheryl Conroy on the 18th, Martha Dalcoma on the 24th, and then Janet West will celebrate her birthday on the 26th, and then Rick Swaldo on the 29th. Our anniversaries this month were celebrated by Tom and Jean Ann Baker, Dave and Janet Jenkins, and then Ron and Missy Martin upcoming. We give thanks for all the wonderful birthdays and anniversaries, and remember that for every concern we have, we also have many uplifting blessings to share with God as well. Let us take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, I come before you just with thanksgiving in my heart today to be a part of this worshiping community, to hear the sound of voices in our sanctuary and know that we have the privilege to uplift and praise your name. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. And gracious God, I realize this week for so many people has been crazy busy. It has been hectic. It has been activity upon activity. But help each one of us just slow down, take a deep breath, and remember every day we have been given on this earth is a gift from God. So help us to cherish the precious gifts of each day that every one of us have been given. And God, there are many people on our prayer list that we are uplifting in prayer. So many people in need of healing, so many people in need of hope, so many people unsure about the future. Help them to know that you are surrounding them and supporting them, and call each one of us to be your hands and feet. And as we look at the challenges in our world and in our country, there is so much that can easily divide us. But help us to be people who share the fruits of the Spirit, who look to build and sustain a spirit of cooperation and kindness and faithfulness and love in all our hearts and in the world around us. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we transition to our offering. Once again, reminding you, we have no offering plate that will be passing up and down the pews, but there is a plate in the back for any of you who'd like to make an in-person donation. We continue to be grateful for our online worshipers and many others who give on scmchurch.org and look for ways that we too can impact our local community through service and the use of financial gifts. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in the offertory hymn. Together the prayer of dedication. Holy Spirit, call us to care for a world in need and to share our gifts every single day to build up the kingdom of God. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I invite the children to come up for our children's chapel. So before we stand, I'm actually going to ask you to stand. What I want you to do is get in a line from tallest to shortest. You get in a line from me tallest to shortest. So James, you'd be first. Tyler, get in there. Peyton, or you guys can air it out. Brandon, are you in there? Reese, and then Jameson. So there's six of you, so this is perfect. I'm going to ask you to partner up with the person close in height. So James and Tyler, Brandon and Peyton, and then Reese and Jameson, you're going to be partners.
Yes.
So what we're going to do today is have a little competition. I'm going to ask you guys to get on the floor. Who here has arm wrestled before? All right. Anybody out here arm wrestling fans? There we go. What I'm going to ask you to do, your competition, is you're going to get across. Can you take some pics for me, Young? You're going to sit across from each other on the floor. You're going to have your arms down. So, James, get down with me. All right, we're just going to demonstrate. So we're going to get on the floor. And we're going to go like this. All right. So your challenge is if any of you can win three times in the 10 seconds that I count out, I will give you a piece of candy if you win. So if you can beat your partner three times, you get a piece of candy if you win. Or I'm sorry, if you win three times, you get a piece of candy. So get on the floor with your partner. Remember, we're not breaking arms here. We're just simply competing a little bit. Oh yeah, Jameson, Reese, you guys want to make sure you come over here so nobody gets kicked? All right, are you guys ready? Did you stretch? Are you ready to roll? Are you ready? You got this?
Yeah.
All right. I'll count to three, and then you got 10 seconds to win three times.
Yeah.
So one, two, three. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. All right. Actually, who won three times? Did you each? You each won three times. All right, hold on. You get one. Hold on. Before we get to this, we're gonna talk about this. They actually did a good strategy. So how did Jameson and Reese, how were they able to pull that off? Peyton? They let each other win. So instead of struggling and competing against each other, you each took turns. Did you guys figure that out? Or were you guys, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. We did this with adults at our foster parenting conference. None of us picked this up, but these two right away. So what I'm going to do is give you the opportunity, because we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Great way to celebrate with Starburst. Good catch, hon. Fruits of the Spirit. So what we're talking about is when we work together, we can accomplish far more than we did if we didn't. So I'm going to give each of your groups another 10 seconds to see if you guys can figure this out, a way to win three times each. What's that? All right, you ready? You ready? You recovered? You got your shoe back? All right, you guys want to help me? If you want to, sure, why not? All right, get back in it. All right, 3, 2, 1, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody's done. All right, you're done, you're done. Everybody's done. Okay, who won this time? Everybody won. So why did everybody win this time?
Because we just did the same thing.
You did the same thing. And what was doing the same thing? You were working what? Together, not in competition. So that's your remembrance. When we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit that God gives us, it is a spirit of cooperation, not competition. And did you have to work harder when you were competing or when you were cooperating? When you were competing, right, you were sweating because you were trying to get the other person down. But what happened when you were cooperating? It was easy, right? Yeah. You were just, yeah, back and forth. It was quick. So I want you to remember that. When we're doing the fruits of the Spirit, it is cooperation. It comes easier to us, and everybody wins. So everybody gets a piece of candy.
Yeah.
You guys get one more. You guys won again.
Ooh.
And when you follow the fruits of the Spirit, even Ohio State fans get M&M's. All right. Will you guys get in a circle with me and pray before you jump into your candy? I gotcha. And the fruit of the Spirit is also not eating somebody's candy when their eyes are closed, too, just so we remember that. Let's pray together. We'll all hold hands. Let's pray. God, we ask that you bless these kids and just remind them that they are loved and made in the image of God, and help them to know that with the spirit of cooperation and the fruit of the Spirit, they can do wonderful things for you, working together to build the kingdom of God, where we all get rewarded for doing what God calls us to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all very much. Good job. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the message that you have to share with us today, and help us to be the people of mutual cooperation and not competition. In your name we pray. Amen. So our message today is going to focus on a lot of what we just talked about with our kids today. And actually I want to start our story, our message today, with a little bit of a story. And this story begins with a dedicated mom who has a wiggly 5-year-old son. And it's his birthday. And she decides that she's a super mom. So she's going to make cupcakes for her little boy's entire kindergarten class. Even after a long day of working 10 hours, even after all these things, she decides she's going to go the extra mile. So she's up most of the night putting on just the right amount of icing on these cupcakes, making sure they look just yummy, making sure they have all the right toppers that the little kids like, whether it's Buzz Lightyear or any of the other, forgetting all the cartoon characters out there right now, but Bugs Bunny, all these other people, I'm going back to my generation. Power Rangers, that was really cool when I was back in the day. If you had a Power Ranger shoe or cupcake thing, you knew you were a cool kid. And so she put together these beautifully and well-arranged 2 dozen cupcakes that she worked and she slaved over, and she didn't get very much sleep that night. And she even made a few extras in case there were aides or other people stopping in the classroom so everybody could have one. And she found a nice and large and sturdy Tupperware container that she prayed that night would be kindergarten proof when she handed it to her little boy to take to his class. So the next day, she takes her son to school, and she drops him off in the loading zone. And she hands him not just these cupcakes, but like this Mona Lisa work of art that she worked on for hours and hours to make beautiful and wonderful. And she hands them to her little boy. And any of you who've been a parent, you know what, right before you're about to drop off their kid and you got something important to say, you look them right in the eye, Paige, and you say, "Paige, we'll pretend you're my 5-year-old. Now you know what you have to do, right? Right? What are you going to do with these cupcakes?
Hand them out.
Hand them out? No. Who are you handing them to?
The class.
The class, right. The people in that room that you congregated. That is your responsibility. That is your job. Now that little boy, any of you know a 5-year-old boy, he might have had a different idea. Because he got halfway up the walkway. And you know where I'm about to turn in this story, don't you? He got halfway up that walkway, and he popped the lid to these 2 dozen cupcakes. And he started handing them out to all his friends, to teachers, to the third graders on the jungle gym, to the janitor. I think there were just a few people walking around randomly. He went down, and he seeked them out, and he gave them a cupcake. And before you know it, he gave away every single cupcake he had. He didn't even save a cupcake for himself. And all of his cupcakes were gone before the school bell even began. And Mama wasn't happy, was she? Because Mama was sitting in the drop-off zone, and she was watching this with her eagle eye, and she saw everything this little boy did. So for those 6 hours that, or 7 hours that boy was at school, she just sat at work and she stewed. And then she came as a dutiful parent to pick up her son. And when she picked him up, she opened the door, and it was a long and silent car ride home, right? One of those where you can just feel in the silence that you know that you've done something wrong as a kid. In fact, you could have cut the tension with a cupcake knife at that moment. That's how tense and silent it was at that moment. And so she gets the boy down on the kitchen table. She looks him in the eyes. And this is where young people, anyone under 16, I want you to listen to this. If your parents sit you down at the kitchen table and they ask you a question, 99% of the time, they already know the answer to the question. Right? Right? Parents, that's a secret right there. So it's best to be honest and up forthcoming in those moments because they got you. And she sat that boy down at the kitchen table and she says, young man, what happened to those cupcakes that I worked so hard for and I slaved over? And that little boy, he broke down in a second. And he looked at his mom with big eyes, begging for mercy, and he said, I'm so sorry, Mom. I messed up. I tried so hard to save those cupcakes for all the special kids in my class. I know you tried so hard to reinforce that in me, but when it came to those cupcakes, to giving them to people, I couldn't wait a single second longer. I was bursting with joy to be able to show the entire world, everyone around me, how lucky I am to have a mommy who stays up late at night and makes cupcakes for her kids. I wanted to tell everybody about it, and I love you. And Mom's perspective, all her anger, all her resentment, it dissipated in that second because she understood where her son was coming from. And it's a funny story, but it's a remarkable sermon as well that was preached near the jungle gym of a kindergarten class. Because that little boy, that little five-year-old boy, they often have theology right when it comes to how to share the love of God. Because when it comes to sharing the fruit of the Spirit with others, we should be bursting at the seams to show other people how much we love them, how much we care about them. We want to show the entire world what a privilege it is to be loved unconditionally by a merciful Savior. We don't want to hide it. We don't want to save it for a special occasion. We want to give it away as soon as possible. And I think so often we do that with cupcakes or birthday cakes. I'm guilty of it. I'm somebody who loves delayed gratification, so I'll always save a little bit more. But you know what happens with a cake or a cupcake if you wait 5-6 days before you munch on that thing? You start getting a brick right there. It's not so yummy. You get a little bit of frosting on the top. We are called to give it away, though. And Galatians 5:22-23 said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Very important fruits of the Spirit. So now I'm going to ask you to get out your whiteboards. Maybe some of you have thought about that question. Of those fruits of the Spirit, you can put on the top half. I apologize, not all of you may have markers. Some of our markers died. But what is your favorite fruit of the Spirit to give on the top half? And what is your favorite fruit of the Spirit to receive? So what other people give you? What do you like to give away? What do you like to receive? And I'll read those off again because I know it's easy to lose track of those. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Take a moment and reflect on those. Take some time to write on your whiteboard. What fruits of the Spirit do you like to receive? What fruits of the Spirit do you like to give away? right, let's see some of those responses. Brandon's got some good ones. Kindness, love, I like that. Faithfulness and joy. Kindness, we like to give it away. Self-control, love, we like to give and receive love. Love. Norsky Nook Pie, there we go. From DeForest, Wisconsin, I appreciate that. I appreciate anyone who's giving that away. Give, joy, kindness, all of them, absolutely. Receive joy and kindness. All those are important. Let's see what McKenna's got. Joy, patience, and forbearance. From an elementary school teacher, that can be a real gift, can't it?
Yes.
Give, love, receive kindness. Kindness, peace, all those are excellent responses. We all have those little things that can help us get through the day. And I bet if you thought about what was the tangible thing that uplifted you from that fruit of the Spirit, I bet it wasn't something that shook the world, but I bet it was a small act of kindness. I think about when I'm having a rough week or just a week that's exhausting, just getting a card in the mail from somebody who's thinking about me or offering a compliment of some type, that can be a big thing. Or just having the opportunity to help somebody, to make a tangible difference for someone, that can be a big thing. But the fruits of the Spirit lives within us. It was the theologian Frederick Buechner who said, "But if good works are not the cause of salvation, they are nonetheless the marks and effect of it. If the forgiven person does not become forgiving, the loved person loving, then they are only deceiving themselves." They're only deceiving themselves. And I love this idea of faith and works working together, because Christians have argued for thousands of years on whether faith or works is more important. What's more important to us? But it's important to remember our loving deeds should be reflected on our loving and faithful hearts. And we have spent far too much time and energy arguing whether faith is best or works is, or excuse me, whether faith dwells in the house of the Lord or works dwell in the house of the Lord, and which is more important. Because in the midst of that argument, we should have realized at some point that we should be making space for both those things. Both those things have value. Both those things have tremendous importance. James said it best in chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So now we know what the fruits of the Spirit are. The question is, what are we going to do with them this coming week? How are the fruit of the Spirit going to be seen in each and every one of you as you go about your weeks? How is bringing love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control going to impact your presence at home? How is the fruit of the Spirit going to impact your approach to work this week? Because you see, the best way we can share the gospel and grow as disciples in this world is by sharing those very fruit of the Spirit. Because when it comes down to it, very few people have ever converted to Christianity because they were dragged kicking and screaming, or because someone shamed them or embarrassed them into believing. Most people come to a true and authentic relationship with Jesus Christ because they see a loved one next to them or a friend who lived their life with authentic and loving faith. They see a strong believer who is able to find joy that is not dependent on their circumstances. They are able to be kind to other people, even if the other people around them are not so kind to them. And they are able to be content and happy with everything they own, even if everyone else in the neighborhood they live in has more bigger house, bigger cars, newer stuff inside their house. They're still able to find contentment in life. Not because of what they've been given, but because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They've welcomed them into their hearts and home. So the fruit of the Spirit, these gifts that we talk about, they are the best sources of evangelism, of sharing the gospel that we have. Because people in our world continue to struggle with loneliness, anxiety, and an alarming fear that they are missing out on a quality life. And if you look at the numbers for these things, it is ascending at record rates never seen before. But we can humbly offer an alternative way. We can show them that the disciples of Jesus Christ live with the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts. That love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's not just something we talk about. That's something we live with every single day. And that has nothing to do with anything we do or accomplish, but it is because we are loved fully and unconditionally by a Savior that proved once and for all that there is nothing He would not do for us, nothing He would not lay down, nothing He would not give up. So we have been given a true and precious gift, the gift of a Savior who loves us. So let us be the ones who share and bless the world with the gift of the love that has already been given to us. Let us be the ones who go forth and remind the world that those fruits of the Spirit live within us, through us, and for the people around us. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and just ask that you continue to inspire us and remind us that the fruit of the Spirit lives within us, that we have been gifted with so many things because we have a relationship with you. So make sure we do not gloat about it, but that we humbly show other people how much Jesus Christ is helping us in our day-to-day lives, in our family lives, in our work lives. Help us to be the ones to show the world that there is an alternative to all this anxiousness, loneliness, and struggling in our world. That we too can invite you in and seek a Lord and Savior who loves and cares for us no matter what we are going through. He will be with us and He will be by our side. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time I invite you to stand as we join together in the final hymn. with you the words of our benediction. I remind each and every one of you are invited to stay after for some cake as we celebrate a birthday and anniversary Sunday. I've been instructed to tell you, any of you who've had a birthday since March of 2020, you get to go through the line first. So that's how we'll do it. Let us listen to God's word. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.